This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show.
This is Right from the Deep with Karen Ball
and Erin Taylor Young.
And we are here at the Oregon coast. More specifically, we're at a wonderful community and beach, and it's called Bandon by the Sea. And we're here because this was my mom and dad's favorite place to come over on the Oregon coast.
Many of you guys may have read or heard that Karen's father passed away after a very difficult battle with stomach cancer. And this is the place that Karen needed to go to grieve and be at peace.
One of the things that we've realized is, as I've been going through this process, is that grief in the deep is very difficult, and grief takes you into the deep places. But it's interesting because when my mom died about 14 years ago, that experience of grief, that deep place, was very different from what I've gone through with Dad, because my mom's passing was unexpected. But my dad's passing, we knew it was coming since December, and this is now August. We didn't necessarily think it would happen this fast, but we knew that it was coming. And so we purposed to do everything that we could to say goodbye to each other, and I purposed to do everything I could to make him my main focus. And that's the kind of grief in the deep where you know it's coming and you can prepare for it. There is another kind of grief in the deep, and that's the unexpected. And Erin has a story for you about that.
When my niece was born, my sister and brother-in-law's child, they had had an ultrasound that was very detailed. And I don't even remember why they did. I think because they wanted to figure out what the due date was. The doctors had wanted to do that. And when the baby was born, they were, as we all would, were expecting the perfect child. But what they got was a beautiful child who was missing part of her left arm. She was missing her left hand up to her elbow. And that was completely unexpected. Whether the doctors saw that on the ultrasound and chose not to tell them, or whether God chose to hide that from them until the moment of birth. And so they had to go through a grieving process. My husband had something interesting to say about that. As a sociologist, he said they need to grieve for the perfect baby that they thought they were getting before they could accept and love and be delighted by the baby that God gave them.
Understand that she's not saying the perfect baby as in, oh my gosh, she's missing a body part, so she's imperfect. But understanding that we all, the first thing that women and men do when they have these little ones is count their fingers and toes. And her family didn't have these ultrasounds done so that they could abort the child. They simply wanted to be prepared if there were any issues. And so it was a shock to them when they did what they thought they needed to prepare well for this child who was coming, and then had this unexpected turn of events. Not that they feel that their child is imperfect in any way, but that the child that came was one who was going to have some special needs and special issues because of the physicality of what happened to her in the course of birth.
Sometimes we all think about our manuscripts as the perfect baby, and then unexpectedly we send it to an editor, we send it to an agent, and we find out that our baby isn't perfect, or we get critiques and we find out that our baby isn't perfect, and it's so unexpected. We have to take that time, I think, to grieve for the perfect baby we thought we had in our book, in our manuscript, in our book launch. And that's okay, and that's healthy, and that's a natural response. Just because you break down and cry when you get that response back, or that critique, or that edit, or that rejection, that's okay. You can go through that grieving process, and then you roll up your sleeves and you accept what you've got, and you figure out what God has for you in that, and what you're going to do from moving forward, what you're going to do with that, and how God is going to use that on your journey.
One of the things that happened for me as we were in those last days with my dad, the day before he actually died, he went into a semi-conscious state. And the day that that happened, I called and I talked with a hospice nurse, and we decided to bring the hospital bed in so that we wouldn't have to worry about transporting him. Well, we did that, and the bed came in. And because he was semi-conscious, he couldn't help us at all transporting. My dad's a big guy. He was 6'1". He was down in weight. He was down to about 130 pounds probably. But even with that, when you're lifting 130 pounds of weight where nobody is helping you with it, it's pretty ponderous. And so there were three of us moving him into the hospital bed, and we almost dropped him. He slipped some, and it was just, you know, I was apologizing to him all over the place and kissing his face. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, Daddy. And felt so terrible. Well, when he passed that next morning at about 2 a.m., later on in the day, I was just shaking my head, and my husband, Don, looked at me, and he said, what? And I said, I never should have had them bring in the hospital bed. Should have just left him in his recliner. And Don looked at me, and he said, stop it. And I kind of started, and I said, what? He said, stop second-guessing yourself. You made the best decision you could with the situation that was presented to you, and you served your dad well, and you can't now second-guess and doubt that. When you have these plans for your career and the things that you think you're doing, don't second guess yourself. Just because you're getting redirection doesn't mean that you were wrong. You may have needed to do what you did in order to let God accomplish something in your life and in your craft and in your career. You can never tell what those steps are, but it's so easy to look back and say, oh, I should have done this, and I should have taken that project, and I should have signed that contract, or I never should have signed that contract. Don't do that to yourself. Don't put yourself even deeper in those places where false guilt is coming and singing to you. Don't listen to it. Close your ears to that and listen instead to the holy amen from God. He will let you know if you've taken a misstep, and he will correct. But he will do it in love. Any of those corrections that are as regret and guilt and feeling like you've let anybody down, those are not corrections from God. So, you know, as you're grieving what you thought would happen with your manuscript or in your career or with the book launch or any of these things that can go so well or can go so very wrong, there's no way to know which way yours is going to go. And it's hard, and it puts us in deep places, but ultimately that's God's call. And see, that's the thing. This is God's call. God is the one who determined when my dad would die. I, in my human weakness, when he was suffering the way he was, I thought it would have been better for him to have died months ago. For him, not for me. I wanted him there as long as I could have him. But God knew. God knew the precise time. And the joy that flooded me when he passed into eternity was so unexpected and so profound. Yes, there's been loss, but because this was a grief that I'd been preparing for, and because I just trusted God this time to do what was right for Don, not that I didn't struggle. Aaron can tell you, I'm like, I think God, if God is doing this to try and teach me a lesson, then he's unkind to Dad. And Aaron, you know, confronted me on that lovingly. And those feelings just are not a good measuring stick for the reality of who God is. And we have to recognize that. Go ahead, vent those emotions, vent those feelings, but don't use them to determine the reality of who God is and whether you've done the right thing.
The thing is that after the grief comes the peace.
Right.
Like Karen experienced the joy. I think in our writing careers, things change, seasons change. Sometimes it's expected and sometimes it's unexpected. But when we give those joyfully to God, when we go through the grieving process and we look at the unexpected gifts that God gives us through that grieving process, then we come to a peaceful a peaceful place
right.
with where we are. And God may bring us back into a writing career. He may bring us into a totally different type of writing. He may bring us out of writing altogether. But it comes to a place of peace.
And the thing is, if you take your hands off of what you expect, if you take your hands, stop holding so tight to what you think is the right path or the right thing to do. If you let God direct you in the way that you know He will direct you, if you surrender all that to Him, you can walk in a sure knowledge of the fact that you will not take any missteps without Him bringing a correction, and any benefit, any joy, any delight comes right from His hand. As we've been here on the coast and we've been building stones of remembrance for Mom and Dad on the beaches that they love, and we'll share pictures of those with you. But as we've been doing that, we even had a situation, many of you know, that Erin lost her beloved boxer, Henry, and that's been very difficult for her. She and that dog were just so connected, like me with my dogs. And so what do we find this morning as we're walking on the beach? Here's a boxer, a beautiful, muscle-bound, exuberant boxer who, when Erin leans down to pet him, just slams her chest into Erin's, about knocks her off her feet. And you could see, I could see from the look on Erin's face, this was such a gift from God, because it was like just in that moment, it was like having Henry to hold and hug and kiss on just for a minute. Such a blessed gift from God.
And you know, the interesting thing is that a friend of mine asked me, even just a couple weeks ago, how are you doing on your grief with Henry? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm fine. I'm getting past it, and I'm tired of grieving. And then on the beach this morning, oh my gosh, that dog, so exuberant,
right.
so loving, just loving on me. That dog just loving all
kissing
over
her
me.
In the face. The owner was like, oh my gosh, she loves you.
It was so amazing. And then unexpectedly, I'll tell you all, I just broke down and sobbed.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was that lady and Karen just hugging on me and loving on me. And that was a gift that I didn't even see coming, but a gift to help me bring more of a peaceful resolution out of that. It's funny, Karen and I have been looking and saying, look at the gifts that God has been giving in the grief.
Yeah.
Even when we were trying, we had a hard time trying to find a place to come. We were calling around,
and oh my gosh, the hotel rooms. When you come to the Oregon coast, you plan months ahead of time because everything's booked up. So all that's left at the last minute, because we didn't decide to come here until after Dad passed. Erin decided that she could stay. Her husband let her stay a few days longer. And I was like, we've got to go to the coast. I need to say goodbye to Mom and Dad there, and I need to say goodbye to the coast for them. And Erin was just like, she was right there for me. So here we are looking for these hotel rooms when there's just nothing available, and whatever is available, we just know it's going to be full of bugs. And neither one of us is into bugs. And so Erin tried one place that I'd never even heard of. And she said, oh, I bet nobody will answer here. And boom, the guy answers the phone. It's after their office hours, but he was there. And he answered the phone. That's so unusual out here. And so she talked to him, and he started describing the room. And he said, yeah, the hotel's a little weather and time worn, but we're right in the middle of a wildlife refuge. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm like, sold. I don't even care how much it is. You know, so we reserved two nights there, and we're driving to the hotel. We get to Bandon, and we're driving to the hotel. And I kid you not, guys, the beach that my mom and dad loved here in Bandon, there's this long wooden staircase that you go down, and you about have an asthma attack going down because it's a long ways down to the beach. And guess what's right in front of us as we're driving up to the hotel is that staircase. This was Mom and Dad's beach. This is where we came all the time when I was a kid. And we pull up, and our hotel room is looking right out on the ocean and the beach that they love so much. Now, if that's not one of those serendipities from God, I don't know what is. It was amazing.
So what we want to do is encourage all you guys, while you're going through the grief and the horror and the trauma and the trials, boy, look for those gifts of God. Have somebody with you in the deep, grieving with you, that can help you and say, oh, look at this and look at this, and remember those. I think part of the stones we've been putting are also remembrances of God's grace to us in this time of grief.
So just as we are still in this process, Erin for her darling Henry, me for my dad, and even though Mom died 14 years ago, those of you who've lost your parents know that there's an element of feeling a little bit like an orphan now. But the beauty is that's what I expected, and that's not what I felt. What I have felt since then is this overwhelming sense of the presence and the love from my parents and from God. I expected to grieve with this the way I grieved with my mom. My mom's death was unexpected. This was something that I knew was coming but did not want. I kept praying that God would come back before he had to take Dad. Very selfish prayer, but, you know, that's who I am. But in the midst of all of this, what I've seen is God's provision. And I've seen God's joy in the face of the deep places. And even in the midst of the grief and the darkness, I've seen God's provision in the friends that he gives me, like Erin, to come here and be with me in this time.
Sometimes I think that the best way to get through the grief is to just let it wash with you. Just sometimes I think of myself as always paddling somewhere. You know, you get on those, have you ever been on those inner tubes and it's like a little float ride,
right,
you know,
right,
down the river? I always feel like I'm sitting in the inner tube and I want the perfect ride. So I'm paddling this way, I'm paddling that way. And I'm trying to control for the perfect ride.
And you exhaust yourself.
I do. And if I just, no matter what comes, whether it's grief or joy or delight or hardship or trial, if you just put your rear end in that inner tube and lay back and let God be the driver in those currents and take you, you're not struggling. And then it's like you can find those places. I think that's a tip to help find what God has for you. You're not striving so hard to get somewhere. You're actually just kind of opening your eyes and seeing where he takes you.
There's no place as beautiful as being in God's, in the center of God's will and in his hands, whether you're in the deep, whether you're on the mountaintop. If you're in the hands of Almighty God, if he is leading you and you follow because you understand that he is God and you are the child, you will find great peace, you will find great wisdom, and you will find unending joy.
It's funny, we started out wanting to talk about grief, and we've ended with peace and unending joy.
Yep. That's God. We start with grief, and then he takes that and he works it for our good, and not just our good, but remember, God longs to delight us. It's hard to remember that in the dark places, but we're here from our own dark places to tell you, God longs to delight us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Erin T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.